Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. It's Nobody Panic, and we're here to say don't panic and it's gonna be okay. I'm Tessa.
I'm Stevie.
This is the podcast. It's a weak opener, sure, but it's going to be a strong episode.
I thought it was a strong opener, so it's going to be a very weak episode.
Thank you.
Weak like a non-alcoholic beverage.
Yes, perhaps. Very good. Cheers to that, and I cheers you with my tap water. This episode is all about how to socialize without drinking. So this one was actually a suggestion that was written into us, and we thought we really liked it.
Yes, thank you so much, Priyanka, for emailing. It was a while ago. It was in September, and we've just got around to it now. We are very, very sorry, but hopefully, considering things are starting up again, socializing is sort of, it's quite an anxiety-inducing thing anyway. I'm still drinking, I think. I mean, I'm not really drinking very much, but I sort of still am. But I'm finding it quite just interesting in the sense of, like, how will that be? Will I want to? Yes or no? Will it be the same as it was before? Not for a bit, I don't think. So if you're somebody who stopped drinking, has decided not to drink when things kind of come back up again, or you've just never drunk and you've always found it like a little bit like frustrating or anxiety inducing, and then this is for you. Priyanka says, I don't personally drink due to religious and health reasons, but whenever there's an outing planned by other people, it often involves drinking or smoking, which are all places I don't really go to hang out. I don't know how to get people to come hang out elsewhere, especially with fellow university mates. There's tons of fun things to do without the need to drink or be surrounded by people who are drinking. Usually it becomes really hard to gel with people and get to know colleagues or course mates or people in general because they tend to bond over drinks. And yeah, I think that's, our society is so anchored by alcohol, and that can feel, it's so hard to not feel alienated by that and not feel like isolated from it. And like, you're always like the other one being like, oh, not for me. And having to explain all the time, like, oh, I don't drink for, well, in Priyanka's case, having to constantly be like, I don't drink for religious and health reasons, like every single time. Like, why should you have to explain why you're not drinking when no one else has to explain why they are? So I completely get it. And as I say, quite a lot of people have used this kind of lockdown situation to sort of notice things about themselves, maybe notice habits that have been quite unhealthy and gone, like, for example, maybe I won't drink as much alcohol, or like, maybe I like every single time I go out, I don't have to drink. And now that is actually becoming, it's easy to do that on Zoom, but now that that's becoming like a real life, I'm going to be in a pub situation, your resolve might be just weakening a little bit, or you might be a little bit worried.
I think, yeah, it's a really interesting one. Before we dive in, shall we do our adult things of the week? And this is the most adult thing we've done, and they can be small or large.
Look, I've got, and all good stories start with this, I've got an extension cable, you know, one of them, sort of like long, the rows, and there's loads of wires going in and out, blah, blah. And so I bought one of those like boxes so you can like hide it so it looks neater.
Lovely.
And also, it is a practical thing because I do have a little tortoise and she climbs over everything, and she's not allowed in the bedroom, but she gets in there. Because she's figured out how to open the door. Anyway, the point is that I was terrified a little claw would go into the little plug thing, she's really little, and she'd electrocute off and die. So I bought that to kind of stop that from happening. But, you know, it looks very neat. But whenever I do look at it, I do think like, oh, good Lord. Right, Stevie, is that the level we're at now? That's, you know, but safety.
And the answer is yes.
Yes, I'm very much at that level. What's yours, Tessa?
Ready yourself. Mine is on Friday, I start my training to be...
Oh my God, what?
To be a volunteer vaccinator for the vaccine program.
That's right.
Initially, I just signed up to be do the meet and greet. And I thought, you know, I could do a type 5 for the queue, you know, keep morale high, get some lols in. And then as I went through the process, they were like, do you want to also administer the vaccine? And I was like, is that a joke? Of course not. Like, what, you're letting doctors do that? And they were like, no, literally anyone is being allowed is doing the vaccine.
Oh, that's good to know.
But you might not pass, so I might not get it, but I've done my my online training. I've got 100% certificate, thank you. So you have to know all these questions about how the vaccine works, and then on Friday I start my training. It's 22 hours long, so don't think that just any old person's like allowed to have a needle. And then at the end of that, I'll either be just meet and greet, or I maybe will be one of the vaccinators.
Oh my God, if I go get my vaccine and
it's
you.
Me.
Jesus.
Well, I even said that in my interview. I was like, I think if I saw me with the needle, I'd leave.
I was going to say it'd be an absolute delight.
Oh, that's
absolutely
nice.
Great.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
We could do a little like podcast while it's happening.
Right? That would be fun, wouldn't it?
And then my adult thing would be getting the vaccine and yours would be administering it to me. Brilliant.
Well, thanks for that boost of confidence.
Very exciting, though. Well
done. Yeah, I am. Thank you. I am excited. I just felt so useless and helpless, and I just wanted to be. But also, if you don't do needles, but you do want to do and just be helpful, you can just Google St John's Ambulance Volunteer, and there are so many things you can do that you can just like go down and help in the queue or do anything.
Lovely. Let's talk about going out and not drinking.
Because let's talk about it.
I'm not somebody who, like I said earlier, I'm not somebody that doesn't drink, but I also am aware that every time I go out, I have to have at least one. I've sort of thought about that a lot because I've not had anything on. So you think a lot about your things and
oh
yourself.
Oh my God. Just and constantly reliving things you said in year 9. Be like, yeah. Oh man.
Oh no. And I would really like to be in a place where I can like go to someone's birthday party or go to something. And you know, the amount of times I've been like, I don't really feel like drinking, or I've got something on the next day. I just haven't gone, rather than just go and not drink. Like it's such a strange, I know that, you know, you might be listening and being like, Stevie, you've got a massive problem. Fine. But I sort of feel like I feel like I do sort of balance it quite well. I don't really, you know, alcohol doesn't really, I'm not like, I don't feel dependent on it. But obviously socially, I am a little bit. And so I would really like to be in a position where I can just be like, oh yeah, I just won't drink, rather than be like, yeah, but how will I speak? And also as well, to be honest, it's not that, it's more what Priyanka was saying, which is just like, it's not the actual drinking, it's the culture around it. Mm. Yeah, and feeling like you're not involved. And that's such a problem anyway, in terms of, you know, in various industries. If you're like a woman in a male dominated industry, all the lads go out for a drink and it's like, there's like, it creates like sort of tribalism, like, oh, we're here and you're not, and you can feel really left out. But I always think back to my friend Ben, who during the years where most of our friendship group smoked, he would come out with us and like just be in the smoking area with us and like chat and like, I was never once like, isn't it weird that Ben's in the smoking area and not smoke? I just thought it was nice. It's always more about you than it is about the person who's not drinking. Like if you, it's the reason that the people who drink alcohol will ever make you feel bad for not drinking. It's because you've made them feel weird about their choices. Mm. So as a person who does drink, when someone who I know doesn't drink comes out, like I never feel like, oh, you're an idiot for not drinking. And if you are made to feel like that, it's so difficult because it would just make, just like ruins your night. It'd just be like, oh, for God. And that's why I would always have one, even if I'm not drinking, because I can't be bothered dealing with the, why aren't you drinking? Every single second. Do you want a drink? Oh, you're not drinking? I don't want to talk about it.
I think there's so much to unpack, especially with our British culture of drinking. We are so like, yeah, this is a problem, isn't it? You're like, yeah, we're saying it. This is really bad and no one acknowledges it. And there is so much to unpack that people would feel uncomfortable going out to the pub because they weren't prepared to answer the questions about why they weren't drinking. Like, that is so, that's huge. That's such a indictment of our society, of how, what a mess we're in. I will say it, I like Ben not smoking. Like, if you do it with confidence, nobody gives a shit. Mine is purely monetary. Like, I didn't drink for a long time, purely because I couldn't afford it. What was my moniker? Tap water Tessa. They were bullying me to my face, I suppose. All I used to get was a soda water and a fresh lime, because if you've got a piss, and then I would say, and two straws, please. That was in the days before we knew straws were bad. But once you've got two straws in something that's sparkling with a piece of lime in it, ain't nobody questioning what you're drinking. So no one ever really questioned me about why I wasn't drinking. If I did, I would be like, I'm very poor. What do you want from me? Like, I can't buy a 12-pound cocktail, even though obviously I want that porn star martini. But I think so I am saying from experience, it is extremely possible to just own it and be confident. And I say that as somebody who is aware that I never needed a social lubricant, and I am aware that I really lucked out with that. That I'm like, oh yeah, I'll come. Like, I don't mind being sober on the dance floor. Like, I wasn't, and I'm so aware that that's not the case for the majority of people.
But I think that's something that that's one of those things that we accept as people and go, oh, I can't do that without drinking. And actually, when you unpack that, wouldn't it be great if instead of just going like, oh, I can't do that without drinking, you go, I'd like to do that without drinking.
Yeah.
Why can't I? Well, that, you know, I'm just taking myself as the thing. Like, I'm increasingly less so as I get older, but throughout my 20s, you know, very insecure, very low self-esteem, had a stutter, felt like I couldn't speak, like felt like that I never really fitted in with the parties, felt too tall, felt too strange. And it's like, well, that's what I had to work on, not drinking more. Like, that's, and so actually, if I hadn't, I think I masked a lot of the things that I started to work on when I was like 30, late 20s or early 30s, I would have done a lot better identifying those things earlier on rather than masking them by being like the fun party drinking Stevie, which is like always like, she'll come, she'll vomit in her own hat and she'll scream a lot and everyone will be like, what a legend. Like, that's fun, but like, I'm having a great time, but that can't be your personality, because that isn't a personality, that is like a thing you're doing. So it's actually, even if you do drink a lot, or you do drink and you're like, I'm fine, but you could never consider going somewhere without alcohol, I think it's just in and of itself a really good thing to learn how to do, just to grow as a person, because we should all feel comfortable with our friends regardless of whether we're drinking or not. And if you don't, then why? You know,
why?
Like, why is that? Drill down into that. You know, people will ask you why aren't you drinking? And you have to be aware that people are going to do that. It often feels like you're not in control of all situations, and that the people that you're with dictate whether or not you're comfortable or not, but you fully dictate whether you're comfortable or not. So if people are going to ask you, like, don't lie, because that's ridiculous. You can get drinks as well, and like, you know, always have like a drink with you, so that it's sort of like minimize the questions constantly. But like, I'm talking about like a non-alcoholic drink. I'm not like, get a wine and just hold it.
Because if you are sat in the pub, like sort of sat on your hands, it's not accusatory, even though it will sound like that. But people will say like, can I buy you a drink? Because they'll, you know, they, for whatever reason. And so do have, you know, if it's just a water or a soda or something.
Or a Diet Coke or something. Yeah,
fine. Or a Diet Coke or something. Like, do have something just so you don't feel so much of a lemon. But just to come back to your point about feeling like I'm only fun if I drink, that is such a lie that we tell ourselves. It's not a magic elixir. You still did all those things. You are still fun. You just have tricked yourself into believing you're only able to do that in certain situations. You're completely capable of doing them sober.
It's actually very fun sometimes to be with people who are drunk and you're not, because you realize that like you start losing your inhibitions a bit as well. Like, you're having fun as well, because they're talking shit, so then you can talk shit. No one's really going to, they're not going to remember what you've said either, like, even though you're sober. It can be quite freeing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
It's difficult sometimes to get people to do things that aren't all about drinking. But increasingly, what I've sort of started to see is, and this sounds like really lame, but there are like quite a lot of things that where drinking is optional. Mini golf or like crazy golf, or, you know, there's like bars and stuff that are like bowling or like pink, things like that, going to the cinema, things like that, where you can get alcohol if you want, but you don't have to. Those sorts of things are, and also as well, like, you might feel like you can't do anything with your friends that isn't drinking, but you can. It's just that you're feeling the difference. Like, you're feeling like you can't suggest that. So there are so many things. Like, also, the thing is meeting up in the evening, going for dinner, that you're there to eat food. That is primarily what you're there for. People will drink and you can't stop them drinking, but that's not what the main focus of this is. It's actually like hanging out. Whereas I suppose if you go and meet in a pub in the evening, then that's different, because that is very much focused on drinking. But if you involve food, then suddenly, you know, you've got something to enjoy there as well. You're not just sat there with, like, you know.
I think with the pub, I think it's just about shifting that attitude to be like, a pub is like the original name, so then we're just like the meeting house. Like, they're just a place to hang out that happens to serve alcohol. So I think that's the thing of, like, going to the pub can be like, we just want to sit with our friends. Maybe there's a roaring log fire. Maybe we're all just hanging out. So as long as you haven't got it in your head that, like, oh, this is a place for drinking. It's not a place for drinking. It's a place for chatting. People don't go to these places and sit. I mean, sometimes they do and sit alone. But, like, primarily they are a meeting house for friends to hang out, and it's no really different than sitting around the kitchen table having a cup of tea, you know. It's just that you had to get dressed for this experience.
University is especially hard though, Priyanka, and also, like, anyone listening who is at university, like, I mean, when I was at uni personally, and also that was a long time ago, so it was when, like, I think drinking culture was even worse. It was impossible to find anything that wasn't to do with drinking, unless you did sport or you found people who, and you can always find people who aren't into that stuff, and then you'd hang out with them. But the thing is it gets better. Like, as you get older, as you move through life, there are more and more things that you can do that aren't drinking. University is especially sometimes difficult because things seem to be fully set up for just taking shots out of someone's belly button. You're like, why are we doing this?
What are we doing?
All of this is the same thing over and over again, but it is fully your perspective, and it's whether you allow this to make you feel uncomfortable, because it's very much on them. It's very much, if anyone is making you feel uncomfortable about not drinking, that's on them. The constant questions of, like, are you not drinking? Why aren't you drinking? you can decide how to deal with it. It's a pain in the ass being asked all the time, or comments being made, or like jokes being made, especially if you're a guy as well. Like if you're a girl, you can almost sort of get away with it, but better if you're a guy, then you're like, masculinity is taken and it's ridiculous. And there's like my boyfriend doesn't drink, and the amount of times we've been on holiday and I've ordered like a cocktail, he's ordered like, I don't know, a hot chocolate or something, and they always come the other way around. Mm. And then when they turn it around, they make a shitty comment about it, like, oh, okay. And you're like, wow. How dare you? Like, what does that even mean? Also, for all you know, he's not, but for all you know, he's like a recovering alcoholic. Just like how he could have, right? Terrible problems.
It's insane that a man ordering a hot chocolate demands someone to be like, all right, you big girl's blouse. But like, where did it become this compulsory, just this insane drinking culture that we're like, you have to get absolutely bladdered and that's your only way? Well, I think it's to do with that. Oh my God, I saw recently this somebody writing that the reason there are so many pictures of men holding fish on Tinder.
Okay, yeah. Oh, I see what you mean. Like, they've gone fishing. They've gone fishing. They're just, like, holding some salmon. A can of tuna. Yeah.
Holding a fish they have caught and on Tinder is because that is one of the very few examples in which men are able to ask for someone to take their photograph and to proudly have their photo taken. I was like, holy shit. Like, this is, there's so much here. There's so much damage of like,
some gendered nonsense. And also as well, it's tied into so much more things. It's tied into like classist stuff. If you order one thing and you shouldn't be ordering that. It also as well, I'm sure people who don't drink for religious reasons probably get like so naffed off by the response of people who aren't religious to that. And like, you know, people wanting to kind of strike up interesting debates about that. Actually, like, I don't want that to be debated. I just came along to hang out with you. Why are we now debating whether I should be drinking or not? Like, everyone has a comment. Well, the only way to deal with it is by, if someone asks you, you just answer. You just literally like just give them like a sentence answer and then move it on. Move on the conversation. Move it on. And if someone is persisting, it's very simple to just sort of be like, let's not talk about this. Let's talk about something else. It's boring. And then just move on. Because the more you talk about it, the more then you are both of you are creating this kind of thing that doesn't need to be there.
It is just about that, about the confidence of being like, this is my decision. I'm completely capable of joining in with all the activities. I'm fun and I don't need this thing and it's not a big deal. And I don't, like, it's not important and it's not a big deal. And we don't need to talk about it. The most good-looking boy I've ever known once revealed, this is at university, he was a virgin. And which, again, like all this, you know, talk about masculinity and all of this stuff, that is the sort of thing that that was true for so many people, but everybody kept it quiet. Like, that was something you didn't reveal. You reinvented yourself and you invented like several sexual partners that you'd met, you know, at school. Oh, I've seen a penis. Oh, yes. And that was the whole of university, everyone just doing that. And so I met this boy who was like, I'm a virgin. And he said it so, I mean, I've done it badly in the presentation, but he said it so coolly and so calmly and so like, as though he was like, oh yeah, I like cheese, or oh yeah, I'm from Kent.
I've had sex. I haven't been to France before.
I haven't had sex. I've never seen Star Wars. You know, like these were just like, it was said so casually and coolly that I was genuinely like, that's the most arousing thing I've ever seen. I was just like, oh my, it really changed my perspective on my confidence in myself. Not specifically, I don't think I was a virgin at the time. Because I think I'm
I definitely wasn't. I've had loads of boyfriends actually. Right. Still doing it, like 32.
Not me, thank you very much. Right? Maybe it was even about that, my whole attitude to sex and to anything that you hadn't done that normally you'd lie and pretend that you had, or you'd make up a reason, or you'd say, I'm on antibiotics, I'm not drinking, you'd make up all these pretend things. So this person so coolly and calmly saying like, yeah, this is a thing I've decided not to. There was no further discussion. The conversation just ended. No one could be like, there was nothing to say.
We're just sat in silence.
Being aroused. Wow. So I guess if you can be, what I'm saying is like, if you can be that boy and just be the confidence in yourself to be like, yeah, it's nothing to do with you. It's nothing to do. You are nothing to do with me. These are my decisions. I've not been to France. I don't drink. Like, it's not a big deal. I don't,
yeah. And it can feel very like, and I'm very aware that it sounds like that there's a lot of onus on you, the non-drinker, to make the drinking people feel comfortable. And I don't want it to sound like that. But at the same time, you, unfortunately, if you are opting into this kind of this delightful society that we've built here in the United Kingdom, can't speak for other countries because I've lived in them, then unfortunately that is something that I wish was different, and we wish was different, and you wish at home the non-drinker was different, but it isn't. And you can't unpack everyone's problems with alcohol and why people respond like they do, but the only thing you can control in any given situation is yourself. So if you make the sort of pact with yourself that you're going to not see these things as like drinking activities, not see, even going to the pub, it's not a drinking,
it's a meeting
activity. It's chatting. Yeah. And yeah, okay, they're getting drunk. And yeah, there will be a point in the evening where the conversation, where you're unable to have the sort of conversations that you want to have. But then, you know, at that point, then, you know, if you want to go home, you go home. Like, it's not like a, oh, I've got to go home because my friends drink. It's that, like, you're tired and you want to go home. Like, that's okay. You're not missing out on anything. And I think it's a long process, and it will be a continually long process. It's never going to change. So the only thing that can change is, yeah, your approach to it and your ways of just kind of like, get involved, and you removing the fact that you don't drink out of the social equation.
Yeah, and it's the end of the chapter, it's not the opening.
Feeling apologetic and feeling like you don't have a right to be there because you're not drinking, feeling like everyone else is in this like drinking club that you're not involved in, that they think you're weird. They'll only think you're other or isolated. If you isolate yourself, if you take a step forward, then if they're your friend, they will also take a step forward, and if also they see that you are making an effort, and that which you are, because you want to see them hanging out with them, then they'll make an effort to kind of like go for coffee with you, come for lunch with you. When they're hungover, you can all go for brunch. Like, it, you don't have to drink in every situation. There are so many other things to do that as you get older it becomes easier. Yes, at university it's difficult, but if you want to like hang out with your friends, then, you know, clubs and stuff are obviously a difficulty, but that doesn't mean you don't like drinking. That just means you don't like clubbing. And that is so fine.
And so
I hate clubbing. And you're meant to feel like you should.
And
you don't
it's
have
really
to.
Set up as a, it's the funnest thing in the world. And then secretly people are like, I absolutely hate this. And it's like increasingly people are like, do you think we only go clubbing so that we can leave and then get takeaway on the way home and bitch about it? Like, that's what people are in it for. Right. So don't
honestly
feel different that you don't like those things. Like, loads of people don't like that. I think it's very normal. And especially, and it's like set up a sort of forced fun of being like, this should be the coolest thing in the world. You're like, it doesn't feel cool or good. I don't like it. I wish we were just chatting in the kitchen.
That's what growing up is. And also, you can be any age to grow up. Like, the idea of being like, actually, like, you know, last year, and I was like, oh, I don't have to finish every book I start because it's only me reading it. I don't want to finish this book, so I'm going to stop. Like, that took me till I was like 31 to figure out how to do that. Like, if you don't like doing something, you just don't have to do it. And there's a real power in that. And your friends won't desert you because you don't want to go to a club every Friday and get shit-faced.
They will talk about you 10 years later on a podcast where they say that you claiming you didn't like something confidently was the most arousing thing they'd ever seen. And I stand by it. Like, I've known so many extremely cool people who didn't drink or who didn't do something that was a norm and who took so much ownership of that. I was like, wow, a god walks among us, you know? Like, that confidence radiated into everything else they did. There is a person who just knows themselves and isn't prepared to be less of themselves for anyone else. You're like, oh my god, I want to be around that.
The first date I ever went on with my now boyfriend, I ordered a massive thing of wine and he ordered a glass of milk. And I thought it was the coolest thing. And then we just continued.
But yeah, that's the thing. Like, if he on that first date had gone like, it's okay with you if I get some milk, you'd be like,
you're mad.
What? Like, there's no way you'd be still in a relationship. But him being like, and a milk please, without any question about what your opinion is on the milk. It's like, he wants a milk, he's having a bloody milk. You're like, yes, I respect that so much. That's
I also like the idea that if you just said like, is it okay if I get some milk? That relationship would just not have continued.
Dead in the water. You're never coming back from that. No. It's not really about the milk, is it? It's not about the drinking. It's not about any of these things. It's about not about whether or not you've had, who gives a shit whether what age you do or don't have sex. Like, it's about your own belief being like, these are my decisions and I have ownership of them. They have not been forced on me by anybody else. And I'm not going to change my behavior because of how it makes you feel. Like, give a shit.
Yes, and also I won't make you feel bad. No one has to make anyone feel bad in this scenario. We all just can have fun together, right? And that is so hard. It's very easy to say, and it's very hard to do, but it's something that if you start now and you really lean in, then you can have just as much fun as anyone who's drinking. Like, you control your own life and don't let anyone else make you feel like you can't. And I hope that helps, Priyanka. I wish there was I wish there was a way of being like, okay, so top five things, but there kind of isn't, because they're all so nebulous.
And also the whole thing is just like such a tangled mess of unpacking that we can't answer them. And to an extent, like, you know, you can't be like, have you tried this late night activity?
Go bowling every time.
The world isn't set up in that way, and you can't bowl. You can't bowl five nights a week, you know? But as long as you just adjust your attitude to be like, hey, it's just hanging out and I can hang out and
weeding out the people that make you feel bad. They're not your friends. Like, they are not good friends if they make you feel bad.
And you can do it. You can do it stone cold sober. You can have a fun old time. You don't have to feel that the alcohol is a gatekeeper to the fun. The fun is there if you're prepared to have the fun.
If you don't like doing any of the things, that's because you don't like doing those things. It's not about the drinking. So then it is about finding. You then need to find the things that you do enjoy doing and the people that you can enjoy doing those things with. If those people won't bend for you, then you shouldn't have to bend so constantly for them. So that's a bigger question. I hope it helps.
Yeah, and there are 9 billion people in the world. So, like, just because you haven't found your tribe on your corridor at university, like, your tribe is out there.
Oh, yeah,
There be tribe.
And they be hating the club.
And they be hating the club. I hate the club sometimes.
I hate the club too. Sometimes. And sometimes it's quite fun.
I need like so much space to express myself, you know? I need like such a specific club with some specific music and enough place to move.
Anyway, that's a tangent. But thank you so much, Priyanka. And if anyone else has a suggestion that you'd like us to tackle, please do email us, nobodypanicpodcast@gmail.com. Or tweet us, Nobody Panic Pod. Say hello to me. I'm at Stevie M. The S is a 5.
I'm at Tessa Coates. If you've got any other suggestions about this podcast or suggestions for future podcasts, we'd love to hear them. We always like to hear from you.
Hear from you. And just have a lovely week. And don't worry, when all of this, when it comes back and everyone starts going out again, there is going to be a little bit of a weird transition period where maybe you'll want to go home a little bit earlier than you normally would. And maybe you'll have a little bit of a panic. Maybe a cry. But we're going to get back into the groove slowly, baby. That's what we're going to do. It's going
to
be
fine. And the nice thing about this is you get to make your own groove. You're coming back out of this, you can do your own thing.
I delight to have my own groove. I can't wait.
Right.
But yes. And best of luck with your vaccination training, Tessa. goodbye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Gamble.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.